You'll find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures before you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the third gospel, the gospel according to St. Luke. And we're going to read some verses from chapter 13, the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, reading from verse 31. And then we are going to turn a little farther over Luke's Gospel to chapter 19, and we're going to read some verses from chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Of the chapter 19, 1 to 10. So first of all, Luke's Gospel at the chapter 13, verse 31. Read it, taking your time from me. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, that is our Lord Jesus, get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Turning over to the 19th chapter, and starting to read from verse 11 of that chapter. No, we'll go back up a little, and we'll start from verse 1. From verse 1 of the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief priest, was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they were all murmured, saying that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to see it, that which was lost. Ending our reading at verse 10, and God will bless His holy, infallible word to all our hearts. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. I have been speaking during these past weeks upon the must of our gracious Lord Jesus during His ministry on earth. We have noted already the must of our Lord's career in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 49. We have looked at the must of our Lord's confidence in Matthew 24 verse 6. We have looked at the must of our Lord's conviction, Matthew 26 verses 53 and 54. We have looked at the must of our Lord's calendar, Mark 13 and 10. And we have looked at the must of our Lord's commission, Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. On Wednesday night last, we looked at the must of our Lord's commandment. I don't know how many people noted that they had never noted before that in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, we read about the Father and the Son. And in chapter 4 of John's Gospel, we read about another Father and another Son. And the theme of chapter 3 is the gift of God. And the theme of chapter 4 is the gift of God. If you were not with us on Wednesday night, you should get that tape and study it. For it opens a powerful new door into the understanding of the Gospel of John. Turn with me now to Luke's Gospel at chapter 13. And in Luke's Gospel at chapter 13, we come to another very important must. Look at verse 33 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. I would commend to you, when you read the Gospels, you should mark the reoccurrence from the lips of our Lord of the word day. The word day was frequently upon the lips of Christ. There is a vast reference by Christ in His ministry to days. Each of them that He mentions are very significant. In fact, the Lord's life cannot be properly understood without recognizing their meaning and their message. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 33, we have a reference by Christ to his conception of his walk on earth. The walk of Christ on earth is all important. And he says of it, nevertheless, I must walk. And I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. The day commences, this day that he refers to, with our Lord approaching Jerusalem. And a question is asked of him in verse 23. Lord, are they few that be saved? His answer is recorded in verse 24. It was a very strong reply which cut his questioners to their hearts. But following hard on the heels of that answer, the Pharisees ordered him out of Jerusalem. And they told him that King Herod had planned to kill him. Now they were not concerned about this threat of the Lord's life, for they at that very moment were themselves planning to kill him. But Jesus Christ made this answer. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Here we have the conception of our Lord's life's work. Walking today. Walking tomorrow. And walking on the day following. Christ's biography, his life story, is told by him and is treated by him as 3 days. The first day, the second day, and the third day. Now, he then turned to his questioners and those that threatened that Herod would kill him. And he said, go and tell that fox. That was an interesting name that our Lord called Herod. For he didn't call him a fox in the male gender. He called him a fox in the female gender. The vixen. And the vixen, of course, is more cunning and more cruel than the male fox. This man, Herod, had a troubled conscience. He had put to death John the Baptist because John had rebuked him for taking his brother's wife. He was a man of darkness and damnation. And the Lord couldn't have called a better descriptive word over Herod. Then he called him in this answer. And then he said, I must tell you something. And he uses that word, nevertheless. Every time you meet that word from the Lord's lips, mark it carefully. It's very important. And he says, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it is not possible that I would perish outside Jerusalem. I am a prophet. And Jerusalem will be the place of my death. Christ's message was plain. A great commentator on the scriptures, John Spurgeon, said, our Lord here gives his pretended friends to understand that the duration of his ministry was fixed and settled, and that the season of his death in like manner was already determined by God's deep counsels. Not to be hastened, not to be delayed by any part, by Herod or anyone else. The Lord would live a certain time. That time, part of it, would be called today. He would live a further time. That further time would be called tomorrow. And then he would live for the last day. And that would be the day of his death. Nothing could alter that in the least. As I looked at that portion of Scripture, I asked myself this question. Why did he call part of his life today? Why did he call part of his life tomorrow? And then why did he call the day of his death the day following? There is a reason for everything in the Bible. And I discovered that this reason can only be found by a careful approach to and study of the Old Testament. Take your Bible and pick it up and look with me at Hosea, the prophecy of Hosea. And you will read there in chapter 6 and verse 2. These words, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. And we shall live in him. And here we find that the prophet Hosea marks our own life in the purpose of God with the same speech of days. And he tells us after 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. I had to ask myself a question. When first was this language used in the Bible? Because the first use of an expression in the Bible gives you the key to every other reference. Now, I would have looked a very long time, But I have some helpers when I am studying the Bible. Men who are long since in heaven, but they left their knowledge behind them. And I start up to look for the first place in the scriptures where this could be found. You know, your Bible, if it's a proper copy of the scriptures, has a margin. And on that margin, there's written in a series of Bible references. You will never know the meaning of the Bible except you consult those references. I wouldn't buy a Bible that hasn't got the references. And many of the references are now removed from many of the Bibles that are being circulated today. And I turned over in my Bible to the 31st chapter of Genesis. And you can't get any other book as far back as Genesis, so you're right there, Genesis chapter 31. And there we have something told us concerning this man Jacob. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And if you look at the marginal reference there, you will find that the marginal reference speaks of he was not towards him as yesterday and the day before. That's the first reference in the Bible to this statement. And if you take time when you go home and look up the other references, you will find that the Old Testament has many, many references to the day before that day, and the day after that day. For this is the summary of our life. Our life can be summed up in 3 days. And Christ set his seal upon that in this chapter that we're looking at this morning. The city of Jerusalem is mentioned, and if you're do a little bit of Bible study this afternoon, you will find that that plea, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, was repeated. And it was repeated in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 37 to 39. And you will notice that in this reference, there is a reference to what the Lord said about these people, and he said that they would not see me until the time came when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Very interesting, because one day the nation of Jerusalem are going to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, when Jesus comes to earth again. And the whole nation of Israel And the time when Christ descends to this earth again, we read, are going to see him. And are going to ask him the question, what are these nail prints in your hands? What are these nail prints in your feet? And the nation is going to be born in a day. And God is going to bring the seed of Abraham as a nation back to himself. That's the miracle that will take place when Jesus comes again. And he said here in a word of divine prophecy, he said, you'll not see me until you, this nation, sees me to look upon. Do you remember Paul speaking? And he said he was one born before the time. Paul was a type of the nation to which he belonged. And on the Damascus Road, he met up with Christ. He saw Christ. And he was changed by the grace of God. In the same way as Paul saw Christ on the Damascus Road, so will the remnant of Israel see Christ when he comes. And that will be the day when it will be said of them, blessed are those that come in the name of the Lord. I haven't time this morning to develop this further. I got a great blessing as I sat with my Bible this week, looked up these scriptures, and thought of this great must. Nevertheless, I must walk today, and tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Now let us go a little farther. Let us turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, we have another must. And it is a must which the Lord Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus. Verse 5. Today I must abide at thy house. Today I must abide at thy house. This is a wonderful story, the story of Zacchaeus and Christ's effectual call to him. I must abide at thy house. Because of that must, our Lord Jesus saw the conversion of that publican, that tax gatherer, that man who was rich with ill-gotten gains and was known to be a sinner. Because you will notice what his neighbors said of him. They all murmured, verse 7, that he has gone to be a guest of a man that is a sinner. But something happened. Christ issued to him the effectual call of the gospel. Look carefully at that call. Today, I must abide at thy house. It was a holy call. Zacchaeus was a wicked man. He had done many wicked things. He was marked and branded as an evil sinner, made rich on robbing his neighbors. Nevertheless, The Lord summons him with a holy call. And he said, come down from your concealment, Zacchaeus, for today I must abide at thy house. The holy call of Christ to sinners. But notice, secondly, it was a hand-picked call. Christ didn't call anybody. In all the mass multitude that walked through Jericho City that day, many, many people, the crowds were great and overwhelming. There was only one person that was called, and that was this evil sinner. Because Christ's calls are all hand-picked calls. Christ's sheep by nature are known only to God. They follow sin by their choice. But he has told us in his word that each hand-picked sinner will hear his voice. And here was a man hiding in the sycamore tree, but he was hand-picked for God's eternity. Paul wrote and said, you're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The choice is not ours. In sovereignty, it is his. The choice is ours when the grace of God conquers us and draws us to himself. The writer said of the hymn, he drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. This was the must of the holy call and of the hand-picked call. But it was the must of a hastening call. Christ said to Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for I must abide at thy house. It was a hastening call. The word that's used here is come in haste and with speed. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The saints of God must be brought in and turn their backs from sin. For Christ has told them in his word that he must bring them in. Do you remember the day you hastened to come to Christ? There was a day when you turned your back on him. There was a month when you turned your back on him. There were years when you turned your back on him. And then suddenly, the grace of God triumphed. And you heard the hastening call. But notice, it was not only the call of haste, but it was a cause of humbling. A call of humbling. He told Zacchaeus not to climb up higher. He told him to come down. Reverse the process. God's commandment, calling men to Christ, calls for a humbling. This man was told by Christ, you have to come down. If you're unsaved and you're trusting in the church and you're trusting in baptism and you're trusting in Protestantism and you're trusting in anything but Christ, you're a lost soul. You need to come off your perch. You need to come down to the common ground. ground was the place that was cursed by the fall. God said, I have cursed the ground. And this man had to take the place on the accursed ground. He had to come down. But it was not only a holy call and a hand-picked call and a hastening call and a humbling call, but it was a home call. He said, today I must come, abide at thy house. That word abide means to make yourself at home. It was a great day, wasn't it, believer, when Christ made himself at home in your heart. I was just saying to a brother before the service today, what would we do if we hadn't the Lord Jesus? What would we do? But thank God that he's at home in our hearts. It was a home call. The people said, imagine Christ going to that den of Zacchaeus, that evil sinner. But thank God, sinners Jesus will receive. Christ comes to seek and to save that which is lost. It was a home call. Christ didn't walk through the door and walk out the other side. He stayed, as the old preacher said, when the tax man had Jesus for teeth, and he had Christ. I don't know whether they drunk tea or not. They could perhaps have drunk hot chocolate, which is a lot nicer than hot tea. But anyway, he was at home. Is the Lord at home in your heart, sinner? No, he can't be. He can't be there until the devils are cast out and the sin is cleansed. And then he can be at home in your heart. But notice, it was a happy call. Christ Jesus made Zacchaeus happy. He was so happy that he gave away half his goods. He stopped and he said, this day salvation has come to his house. And he turned and he stood and he said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Before he got from the bottom of the tree to his home, he was soundly converted. And he had made the reparation that he needed to make, for he made himself a rich man by thievery. But he says, it's all gone back. I have repented. That was a happy call. But notice something else. It was a heart call. From all eternity, Christ loved Zacchaeus. When he came to Jericho that day, he knew the time had come for him to effectually call Zacchaeus to himself. Today in heaven, Zacchaeus is among the multitudes redeemed. But Christ doesn't love him any more than he loved him from a past eternity. Or doesn't love him any more than the day he met him and he went home to his house. Christ's love makes a heart call. He reaches to our very heart. Finally, it was a hold-fast call. It rang in Zacchaeus' ears that day and every day since. And if you're a child of God and you're walking with God, you know that's true. That the lines of communication with heaven are open to you at any time of the day and night. There's never a too busy sound of the Lord's communications to His people. It's a hold fast call. Zacchaeus didn't hold on to his sinful gains. No. Zacchaeus let them go. For he grasped the hand that in some day's time was going to be nailed to the cross for him so that he would bear his sins no more. I was thinking of an old hymn. Do you not feel, dear brother, his spirit now striving within? Oh, why not accept his salvation and throw off the burden of sin? Today I pray, God, that some man, some woman, some boy, some girl in this house of God will hear that blessed call that Zacchaeus heard. And he will hear the must of the Savior. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. May it be so, for Jesus' sake.